The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Zee-Wee Does It. Meet the new addition to late night television, and it all started with Instagram. During the pandemic, 29-year-old Nigerian-American Zee-Wee found her way into the news feeds of several thousand fans through her hilarious YouTube series, Baited with Zee-Wee, and her equally funny Instagram live videos. The videos were in an almost instant success shortly after they went viral. The comedian landed her own self-titled Showtime series, which debuted in early May. This has been such a weird time to be alive and to witness global events shift world history, Zee-Wee says. I was lucky to be able to create art for a living and to share with the world. So it's a privilege. I feel very blessed with her commentary on social media and her fresh, fun fashion. Her IG is a runway of retro hairstyles and bright head-turning makeup. Zee-Wee is becoming a household name. More important, she's helping diversify the narrative of late-night talk show host. A former intern at Comedy Central and a writer for Showtime's Desi and Mero talk show, the content creator became notorious for asking her white guests hard-hitting and often uneasy questions about race and politics, usually leaving them sputtering with embarrassment. We have to have these uncomfortable conversations and in the process create what is meaningful to us, she says. The native of Lawrence, Massachusetts, not only serves as a testament that there's no straight and narrow road to success, she's also an example of what can be accomplished when one takes unflinching ownership of their personal brand. For Zee-Wee, it's her superpower. The next article is titled Real Fashion Confessionals. When Beyonce, Megan Thee Stallion, or Cardi B need a look that steals the show, they look no further than award-winning designer Laquan Smith. Less than a decade after Laquan Smith started his fashion label, the designer is a household name, well in the households of the rich and famous. His garments, worn by Normani, Jennifer Lopez, Swarty, and more, are known for their curve-hugging divineness. That's always been Smith's objective. The existence of Laquan Smith is all about celebration of form, he says, while lounging at Soho House in Manhattan's Meatpacking District. In the times that we're in, I feel like I'm filling in a white space. I am speaking to a demographic of women who love their bodies. In April, the designer was announced as one of the 10 recipients recognized by the CFDA/Vogue Fashion Fund, an honor that talents like Kirby Jean Raymond, Telfar Clemens, and Christopher John Rogers have garnered in the past. I don't ever think something happens too late or too early, Smith says about the award. Everything happens when it's supposed to happen. Maneuvering through challenging times. This pandemic flipped everything upside down, and we were all in survival mode. It was about taking action, taking responsibility, and focusing on what was important. I had my own hiccups with my business, but I'm also one of the fortunate ones because during the pandemic, my business actually soared. That was interesting to observe in the crazy times that we were in. I'm from Queens, a New York native, and we have this organic hustle when we're used to starting from the ground up. So it felt like being back at square one. when and why he started his business. I was really intimidated at the thought of showcasing at New York Fashion Week. There was still that fear of being rejected because I didn't study at the Fashion Institute of Technology or Parsons. The first question I would be asked for editorial inclusion was, "Where did you study?" or "Where are you sold?" I didn't have an answer because my grandmother taught me how to sew and I wasn't sold in any retail stores. So it felt discouraging. I channeled my energy into building a solid foundation and a strong business so I could speak to an audience and they would actually listen. Pushing through industry standards. To be a creative is also to be in a very vulnerable state of mind. You work for a few months conceptualizing and putting together a portfolio or a body of work to then preview it and open it up to critique. It's not always going to be well received in the industry, so you have to be very comfortable in your skin and really confident in what you're putting out. If I wasn't going to be a part of the CFDA at the time, or if publications didn't want to support me, I had to figure it out on my own, which I did. I think you have to be sort of selfish in a way and say, these are the list of goals I want to accomplish, these are the people I want to work with, and this is how I am going to do it. Financing his way up. Money is not always going to be at the top of mind when you're a creative. Sometimes talking about finance, infrastructure, business planning, and projections can be stifling to the creative process. That's why it's good to have a solid business partner because you can't do it all by yourself. Recognizing the nuances of being a Black designer. Creators of color become so pigeonholed because every time there is a feature or there is consideration of inclusion in any editorial or any platform, it's always centered around how does it feel to be a Black designer in fashion. After a while, you just become exhausted with the topic. I am not going to stop being Black, but what I can emphasize is pushing boundaries as a creative of color, expanding my partnership, and creating things that make women unapologetically beautiful. The next article is titled Designer Spotlight, House of Amma. This mother-daughter duo leverages family ties to create striking pieces. Daughter Akua, a graduate of the New School's Parsons School of Design in Manhattan, is pursuing her fashion dreams through collaboration with her business partner and mother, lawyer Rebecca Henry. As co-founders of House of Amma, the two design garments with nostalgic references inspired by history, sustainability, and storytelling. The next article is titled Couples Cosmetic Therapy. It's no secret our men care deeply about their looks. Today, many are seeking out cosmetic procedures as a means of bonding and beautifying. When the topics of plastic surgery and minimally invasive beauty processes arise, the conversation is usually among women, but the scales have begun to tip, with men becoming more comfortable leaning into in-office cosmetic improvement and less reluctant to share their experiences. Regardless of who's playing it coy and who's not, numbers don't lie. According to a plastic surgery statistics report conducted by American Society of Plastic Surgeons, comparing information from 2000 and 2018, among men, there was a 433% in lip augmentations, a 133% increase in malar or cheek augmentations, a 381% increase in type A injections, including Botox, Dysport, and a 250% increase in laser skin resurfacing. And that's just for starters. More invasive procedures such as abdominal etching, breast reductions, tummy tucks, and thigh lifts have also soared among this demographic, revealing that men are becoming more invested in making aesthetic changes. Corey L. Hartman, MD, a board-certified dermatologist, references a celebrity like Deion Sanders as a trailblazer of sorts in demystifying the once-taboo topic. In 2017, the sports icon shared that he had begun routinely undergoing Botox to target frown lines and crow's feet from aging. The revelation, Hartman says, encouraged many men to consider doing the same thing. Experts suggest that Black men specifically are increasingly stepping forward for cosmetic procedures, many of which are already familiar to other demographics. Breakthroughs with cosmetic procedures occur in other populations first, Hartman explains. Often, we are just the last to acknowledge the trends and partake. A lack of knowledge plays a major role in the disparity. Hartman also notes that there's so much bad work out there. We are often put in the position of having to educate men because they have preconceived notions of what these treatments will make them look like. Think of all the people walking around after cosmetic surgery looking ridiculous. Unfortunately, those are the stories that make the headlines. Board-certified dermatologist Michelle Henry, MD, founder of Skin and Aesthetic Surgery of Manhattan, has observed the same reluctance in Black men. We see a hesitancy in skin of color in general, she says. There's a large concern about whether the person who's treating them can understand their skin type. To add that, there's a misconception that cosmetic treatments aren't something we do because Black don't crack. Experts note, however, that the greater willingness of Black men to consider undergoing aesthetic procedures is due in large part to the support and encouragement of their partners. Indeed, the foremost catalyst behind the rise of Black men seeking these procedures seems to be their significant others. I've seen so many men come in not only feeling more comfortable about discussing these cosmetic options, but also coming in with their partners and having treatments done together, Hartman states. It turns out that the best way that women can lead the conversation is by successfully undergoing the procedures themselves. So whether your partner is warming up to the idea of cosmetic augmentation, or you're the one who's considering treatment, based on what the experts say and the statistics reveal, you are both in good company. It just may be a matter of time. The next article is titled, Let Marlon Wayans Be Great. The baby of one of the most renowned families of Black entertainers is ready to take center stage. You've no doubt heard the phrase, don't let the baby face fool you. But when it comes to Marlon Wayans, the sentiment is more than a funny saying. At 49, the youngest of the famous Wayans Entertainment clan is playing the role of Ted White, the troubled lead man in the Aretha Franklin biopic, Respect. And with the beard he grew for the role, he finally looks every bit like a writer, a producer, and an actor with 44-plus film and TV credits to his name. I'm at the point in my career where I want to do great work with great people on great projects, Wayans says. You've got to surround yourself with like minds, like-minded spirits, and challenge yourself against other people's greatness. This is the approach Wayans brings to his star turn alongside Academy Award-winning actors Jennifer Hudson and Forest Whitaker in the Liesl Tommy-directed film opening August 13th. While fans of Franklin are likely aware of the tumultuous nature of his first marriage, Wayans was clear that he didn't want to play a villain. After reading the script, Wayans says he told the director, I want to play a damaged man who loves loves a damaged woman and starts doing damaging things because he becomes insecure. Wayans is a self-proclaimed romantic. During quarantine, he wrote and sold a buddy action rom-com to Netflix. He describes it as Bad Boys meets When Harry Met Sally. I wanted to be the romantic lead in an action movie, so I wrote one, he explains casually. Nothing about the creative's career has been incidental. Wayans followed the guidance of the late director John Singleton, running with his advice that if he wanted to work as an actor, he needed to write. That insight led him to develop the franchises Scary Movie and A Haunted House, as well as two successful sitcoms, The Wayans Bros and Marlin. The beautiful thing about all that I've done is that it's just the beginning, he says. My best years are ahead of me. My legend years are coming. Wayans' self-assurance is the result of years of sharpening his skills as a multifaceted entertainer. But last year, the passing of his mother, with whom he shares a birthday, ignited what he calls a desperation for the world to see what he can do. Now I have a pain in me that I never had before, he reflects. Losing my mother gave me depth. It broke me. It forced me to reinvent myself as a human. As he processed his loss, Wayans tapped into his artistry even more deeply. Creating has always been what saved him when coveted roles weren't coming in or others fell through, like the opportunity to play Richard Pryor. I just said, you know what? This is God. Stop worrying about playing a great. I want to be great. As his personal form of therapy, Wayans began doing stand-up again, not so much to prepare for a part, but to tap into his own creative potential. Now, with his leading role under his belt, he's already writing his next, and along with it, the second act of his career. I just want the opportunity to be great. At some point in my career, to be the guy, he says. And the guy is the guy who gets the best scripts first, with the best directors attached, with the biggest budget, a big market plan, and a huge audience that comes to see it. Everything I've done up until this point had all been practiced for what's coming, and I'm ready. The next article is titled Conquering Balance. On Starz's latest hit, Run the World, the synergy between the series' fashion and beauty team ensures that these characters' head-to-toe looks take center stage. Scripted series that cast a light on the multifaceted friendships of Black women have captured hearts and ratings for decades. Living Single left us laughing hysterically, while Girlfriends showed us that maybe our man problems weren't so bad. Now, the Starz original series, Run the World, created and written by Lee Davenport, is revealing the importance of hustle and loyalty. And while the friendship dynamics on these shows may be vastly different, one thing has remained consistent. The breathtaking beauty and fashion moments that blow us away week after week, especially when it comes to Black women's hair, with an accomplished crop of talent now working behind the cameras on Run the World, that trend continues. If you have tuned in to the show yourself, then you know the looks they create are worthy of applause. It was great coming up with the looks from scratch, says Nakoa Yancey, head of hair for the pilot episode, who first had to identify each character's hair personality. I'm such a Sex and the City fan, and this show is like an upgraded Black women's version of that. The tone set by Yancey was advanced by Tarsha Marshall, who took over as head of hair for the rest of the season. She expanded upon a variety of looks upon that further enhanced the stories of Ella, Whitney, Sondi and Renee. We want to show that Black women don't have just one way of doing our hair, Marshall says. The same approach was taken with fashion. Black women's style has always caught my attention, and the four women are very different individuals, notes Tracy L. Cox, lead costume designer. As such, I followed my inspiration in presenting the style for Run the World, an elevated wardrobe, which I feel is congruent with what I see every day. Cox had help from the incomparable Patricia Field, costume designer for movies such as Sex and the City and The Devil Wears Prada. Run the World highlights four very different Black women, Field states, adding that, as with the hair, the costuming had to embody the distinct personalities of each of the protagonists. This information about the different personalities was beautifully presented to me by Yvette Lee Bowser, the showrunner and executive producer, Cox says. We chose Happy Clothes as I consider each of the ladies a positive character rooted in values, learning from their upbringing. The next article is titled In Those Jeans, Discover the Secrets of Ageless Beauty by Tuning Into Honest Discussions About How to Stay Forever Young. The relationship that Black people have with growing older is often different than in other communities. While thoughts of aging are dreaded and avoided by some, others embrace the long-standing belief that, like fine wine, we get better with age, but growing older gracefully involves so much more than what occurs on the outside. Ideally, we also advance in knowledge and wisdom, heighten our levels of self-worth and self-love, and gain a better understanding of the complicated world in which we live. Even so, it's impossible to ignore the fact that we live in a media environment that is committed to making us believe that getting older should be feared. The beauty industry is flooded with products and advertisement that undoubtedly stigmatize the aging process, while social media continues to perpetuate the idea that we must reach certain milestones by specific ages in order to feel fulfilled and accomplished. The pressure from all angles can be difficult to overlook. That's why at this year's Essence Beauty Carnival stage, which will be held virtually, we are uplifting and honoring ageless beauty throughout the lens of influential women across several generations. All of them have different invaluable lessons and journeys to share. In intimate conversations on June 25th and July 2nd, a select group of beloved and notable Black women in Hollywood will be joined by the incredible moms and guardians who raised them. The powerful dialogue will encompass their triumphant stories of self-love, beauty tips they've learned along the way, hair, makeup, and skin faux-pas they wish they could forget, plus so much more. We'll explore deeply how representation in beauty has evolved over the years, the pressures they feel aging, even gracefully, in the spotlight, and how they inspire global glamour trends. Prepare to hear words of wisdom and sage advice that will serve as a powerful reminder that Black is beautiful and beauty has no age. The next article is titled Essence and Coca-Cola, If Not For My Girls, When Three Incredible Women Get Together to Cultivate Conversations Over a Cool, Refreshing Beverage. What Do You Call It? Gratitude and Sisterhood. Essence and Coca-Cola's If Not For My Girls tells the real and authentic stories of women who support, uplift, and cheer each other on through it all. For season one, we were joined by close friends Carrie Hilson, Latoya Luckett, and Miss Bridges, who discussed topics from the importance of celebrating Black women to conquering fear and establishing a faith Faith-Based Foundation. Then, our Season 2 crew, Valicia Butterfield-Jones, Estelle, and Melanie Fiona, came together to tackle the everyday topics and discussions that queens have behind closed doors. Essence and Coca-Cola, If Not For My Girls, Season 3. This year, we are back for the Season 3 and cannot wait to reveal our new set of girlfriends. In the meantime, head over to essence.com/ifnotformygirls/ to binge watch Season 1 and 2 and stay tuned for our Season 3 launch. Join the conversation with #ifnotformygirls. The next article is titled Summer Sizzles. Whether you're still social distancing or you started wearing less and going out more, this season promises to be an entertaining one. In those dreams, not ready to be in the streets, live vicariously through these flicks. Number 1, Vacation Friends on Hulu. This raw and raunchy comedy stars Funny Faces, Little Real, and Yvonne. The pair's rowdy dealings with a rambunctious couple whom they met while celebrating their engagement at a Mexico resort continue long after they return home to their quiet lives. Number 2, Resort to Love on Netflix. This rom-com about an aspiring singer who ends up performing at the wedding of her ex-fiancé will definitely keep you laughing. You just might end up with a little more appreciation for all those Zoom ceremony invitations you've received too. Number 3, The Suicide Squad on HBO Max. Corto Maltese may be different from the islands most of us think about visiting this time of the year, but the fictional South American local is the site of the Suicide Squad, which is sure to be this summer's top blockbuster. Catch Viola Davis and Idris Elba in the superhero flick. The next article is titled Usher in Residency. Usher Raymond will be live in concert during the hottest months of the year, appropriately so. Beginning July 16th, you can catch your favorite R&B singer at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, where he will belt hits from his nearly 30-year career. General admission starts at $59. From each ticket sold, $1 will go to Usher's New Look Inc. organization, which funds programs for underserved youth. The title of the next article is 10 Things We Are Talking About. Number 1, Mask Off. 2, Politics with Purpose. 3, Basketball Africa League. 4, Festival Season is Back. 5, Million Dollar Quarter. 6, Honoring a King. 7, Ready, Set, Go. 8, No Justice, Some Peace. 9, A Great Britain First. And 10, Inclusively Reviewed. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.